I want to welcome you to our service this morning here in Crossgar Free Presbyterian Church, and we welcome you in Facebook and Sermon Audio. We want you to continue with us as we worship the Lord today, and that we might know his presence and his blessing upon us as we come into his presence today. We're going to open our service today by singing a psalm. It's the psalm 42, as pants the hart for water brooks, my soul pants, Lord, for thee, for God, the living God, I thirst, God's courts, when shall I see? Join in as the hymn is on your screen.
Let's stand, please.
If we could turn in our Bibles again today to Isaiah chapter 43 or Isaiah chapter 44. We have been doing consecutive readings in our church services, and we're turning this morning to the 44th verse, or the 44th chapter of the prophecy of Isaiah, and beginning our reading at the first verse. Yet now hear, O Jacob, my servant, and Israel, whom I have chosen. Thus saith the Lord that made thee and formed thee from the womb, which will help thee. Fear not, O Jacob, my servant, and thou Jeshurun, whom I have chosen. For I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon thy seed, and my blessing upon thine offspring. And they shall spring up as among the grass, as willows by the watercourses. One shall say, I am the Lord's, and another shall call himself by the name of Jacob, and another shall subscribe with his hand unto the Lord and surname himself by the name of Israel. Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first and I am the last, and beside me there is no God. Amen. And we know the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his precious word to our hearts for his name's sake. Let's unite together at the throne of grace and ask the Lord to bless as we gather around his word today. Our loving God and our gracious Father, we come to thee in our Saviour's name. We thank thee for the blessings that we have read in thy word. We thank thee for those who are surnamed by the name of God. We thank thee for that identification that those that are saved have with thee. We're in thy family. We have been brought into the family and fold of God. And we thank thee, Lord, for the comfort of thy precious word. We thank thee that thou hast promised to be with thy people in the midst of the difficulties, in the midst of the trials of life. We thank thee that we have a God who is there to meet us at the point of our need. And we'd ask thee that thou wouldst come today and bless us as we gather around thy word. We think of those that are gathering over the computer screen or by other means, maybe the telephone. We pray, Lord, that thou wouldst bless them as they would seek to learn from thee today. We pray that thy word might have free course and be glorified, that thou wouldst speak in this day, and that thy power might be demonstrated. We need the power of God in this day. We need thee to visit us, O Lord, that thou wouldst open the windows of heaven and pour us out a blessing that there may not be room enough to receive. We'd ask thee that thou wouldst come in thy mercy, and that thou wouldst have mercy upon our land, upon our villages, upon our communities, that thou wouldst come and visit us afresh and turn the tide of sin and iniquity. And we pray that there might be many turned to righteousness. We pray for the medical situation in the midst of this pandemic and all the pressures that the medical staff are under. We pray that thou wouldst come and give aid and help, Lord, that thou wouldst strengthen them in the midst of all of the labors that they have to endure. And we pray that thy hand would be upon them, keep them safe, put thy hand upon them. And we pray for all that are sick, that they might know the grace and mercy of God, that underneath and all around are those everlasting arms. Lord, we thank thee for the concert of prayer that has ascended, even for the Presbytery Zoom prayer meeting. We pray for the one next Saturday, that thou wouldst come in power there. Many will tune in, and many will come to pray and to seek thy face. And we pray that that desire, or that concert of prayer, might ascend to thee, and that thou wouldst come in power in this day and visit our land and visit our missionaries and visit those that are standing for thee in this day and generation. Be with us, our God. Bless us now as we gather round thy word, for it is in Jesus' precious name that we ask these things. Amen. Amen. Well, we want to welcome you to our service today. Again, those that are tuning in on Facebook and Sermon Audio, and we want you to feel welcome here and join with us in our service as we worship the Lord. Could I just give a few announcements? First of all, there's a Presbytery Zoom prayer meeting next Saturday, and we want you to join in with that, please. Are details given in the church WhatsApp group, and you need to register for that. There were over 400 that registered for the prayer meeting the other Saturday, and it was such a blessing to many that others have said that they want to be involved with that. And so we want you to register and get involved in that prayer meeting next Saturday. and the details will be available there in the WhatsApp group, or if you're not on WhatsApp, then message us in some way and we'll get you details of that so that you can register. Just to remind you of the meetings for the incoming days, tonight at 7 o'clock is the evening meeting and I'll be the preacher in the Lord's will. Then on Thursday at 8 is our midweek meeting on sermon audio and on Facebook. Please remember that and tune in. Friday at 8 is the youth fellowship on Zoom. Then next Lord's Day, 10 a.m., FPC Kids Sabbath School. Then online on Facebook. 11:30 is the morning service. 7 o'clock is the evening service. And normally would have been our family and friends service. And would have had the Reverend McLernan to come and give us testimony. But because of lockdown, our brother has supplied that to us on video. And we'll be showing that next Lord's Day. And we want you to make that known and invite others to tune in for that special meeting. And we want you to share that as much as you can. And we want to use this as an evangelistic opportunity. We had a mission plan for March for 70th anniversary, but the lockdown is now going on into March, and we won't be able to do outreach. And then also people will be still a little bit apprehensive about coming into a meeting. And so it's not the right time to have a mission and consultation with our elders. We have postponed that. And we'll let you know more about that in time to come. Also, we have been making an appeal for a new computer for a pastor in the Philippines. One of our brethren that I was out preaching for last year before last. And he wants to translate the Shorter Catechism in the Tagalog language, the Philippine language. And his computer really has come to an end of its usefulness. And we want to encourage our brother by supplying that. Now, I've already received contributions. If you want to contribute, we would appeal to you, please, to take this on board. Take this as a missionary cause and to encourage our brother. And we want you to give to that. If you want to give messages and say, and maybe we'll be able to get the money later on, but if you would like to contribute to that, please let us know. And we want to try and raise the money to get a new computer for the Lord's servant at this time. So please take that upon your hearts. And we'd appeal to you, please, to give to this, to encourage the Lord's servant the way they are in the Philippines. But we're going to come to God's word now, but before we do so, we're going to sing another hymn. It's the hymn, "Revive Thy Work, O Lord, Thy Mighty Arm It Bear, Speak With a Voice That Wakes the Dead, and Make Thy People Hear." Join in as we worship the Lord as the hymn comes on your screen just now.
Thank you.
Turning to God's precious word again, and we're turning to the prophecy of Malachi and to the third chapter of Malachi, and we're going to read from the first verse of the chapter, Malachi chapter 3, and beginning our reading at verse 1. Behold, I send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. But who may abide the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. And he shall sit as a refiner and purifier silver. And he shall purify the sons of Levi, and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant unto the Lord, as in the days of old, and as in the former years. And I will come near to you to judgment, and I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers, and against the adulterers, and against the false swearers, and against those that oppress the hireling in his wages, the widow and the fatherless, and that turneth aside the stranger from his right, and fear not me, saith the Lord of hosts. I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob, are not consumed. Amen. We know the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his precious word to all of our hearts. Let's just bow, please, in a word of prayer, and let's seek the face of God for his blessing. Our loving God and our gracious Father, we come to thee in our Saviour's name. We thank thee for the blessings that we have read in thy word. We thank thee for those who are surnamed by the name of God. We thank thee for that identification that those that are saved have with thee. We're in thy family. We have been brought into the family and fold of God. And we thank thee, Lord, for the comfort of thy precious word. We thank thee that thou hast promised to be with thy people in the midst of the difficulties, in the midst of the trials of life. We thank thee that we have a God who is there to meet us at the point of our need. And we'd ask thee that thou wouldst come today and bless us as we gather around thy word. We think of those that are gathering over the computer screen or by other means, maybe the telephone. We pray, Lord, that thou wouldst bless them as they would seek to learn from thee today. We pray that thy word might have free course and be glorified, that thou wouldst speak in this day, and that thy power might be demonstrated. We need the power of God in this day. We need thee to visit us, O Lord, that thou wast open the windows of heaven and pour us out a blessing that there may not be room enough to receive. We'd ask thee that thou wouldst come in thy mercy and that thou wouldst have mercy upon our land, upon our villages, upon our communities, that thou wouldst come and visit us afresh and turn the tide of sin and iniquity. And we pray that there might be many turned to righteousness. We pray for the medical situation in the midst of this pandemic and all the pressures that the medical staff are under. We pray that thou wouldst come and give aid and help, Lord, that thou wouldst strengthen them in the midst of all of the labours that they have to endure. And we pray that thy hand would be upon them, keep them safe, put thy hand upon them. And we pray for all that are sick, that they might know the grace and mercy of God, that underneath and all around are those everlasting arms. Lord, we thank thee for the concert of prayer that has ascended, for the Presbytery Zoom prayer meeting. We pray for the one next Saturday, that thou wouldst come in power there. Many will tune in and many will come to pray and to seek thy face. And we pray that that desire or that concert of prayer might ascend to thee, and that thou wouldst come in power in this day and visit our land and visit our missionaries and visit those that are standing for thee in this day and generation. Be with us, our God. Bless us now as we gather round thy word, for it is in Jesus' precious name that we ask these things. Amen. Amen. Now I want to take a text today. It's Malachi chapter 3 and verse 1. It says, "Behold, I send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts." The prophet Malachi prophesied at a time after the Jewish people returned from the Babylonian exile and rebuilt the temple, probably, however, before the reforms of Ezra and Nehemiah. And so it was a day in which the people had started off with great enthusiasm, but by this time their enthusiasm had greatly waned and they'd become careless and lax in the things of God. Malachi chapter 2, verse 11, the prophet gives the word of the Lord to the people. He says, "Judah hath dealt treacherously, and an abomination is committed in Israel and in Jerusalem. For Judah hath profaned the holiness of the Lord, which he loved, and hath married the daughter of a strange God." In verse 17, we're told that they had wearied the Lord. It says, "Ye have wearied the Lord with your words, yet ye say, wherein have we wearied him? When ye say, every one that doeth evil is good in the sight of the Lord, and he delighteth in them, or where is the God of judgment?" And they'd wearied the Lord by making light of sin, but they'd also wearied the Lord because of their slackness in worship and in will to do that which God wanted them to do. And they'd become profoundly discouraged. Nothing seemed to be happening. And they had said, "Where is the God of judgment?" And their question was really in despair. They wanted God to step in and to establish his kingdom and to judge the enemies that were round about. And nothing seemed to be happening. And in their discouragement then, they had become careless in the things of God, and they become lax in the things of God, and their worship of God had become affected, and their walk with God had become affected. But it is noticeable that when they were confronted about their laxity and their carelessness, that they didn't even recognize that they'd strayed from God. Because God comes in chapter 2 and verse 17, and he says, "Ye have wearied the Lord with your words." And when the Lord says this to them, they say to him, "Wherein have we wearied him?" And they couldn't believe that the Lord was saying that they had wearied him by their deeds and by their doings. Later on, the Lord says to them, ye have robbed me. Now the reply to that is, wherein have we robbed thee? Again, they're flabbergasted by the suggestion that they had sinned and committed sin against God. They couldn't see it. And the desperate need of their heart, they were so blind that they couldn't see how far they had strayed from God. And when they are confronted by this, they grow, as it were, angry. They're shocked at what has been alleged against them. And you know, we are in deep danger, getting into a condition where we have a blind spot towards our own laxness and carelessness. But would you notice that when the people here are questioning and wondering about the God of judgment and where he is and why God is doing nothing, God gives an answer. He says, we're told what the answer is. He says, and the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple. So the Lord is saying, well, I will come. I will come suddenly. I will come unexpectedly. And there is this wonderful promise. He said, behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. And the Lord promises that he will come. And when he comes, he will come suddenly. And he will come suddenly to those that are seeking him. The God whom ye seek shall come suddenly to his temple. Now, in an age when there are many people that have turned from God, we certainly need the Lord to come. We need the Lord to come in that sudden visitation among us. Isn't that what we want? Isn't that what we need today? We need the Lord to step in. We need the Lord to come and visit. We're in a deep need of that spiritual visitation in our lives and in our church today. Well, I want you to see that the Lord here speaks about visiting his people, visiting his church and his people. We are the temple of the Holy Ghost today. His church is the temple of the Holy Ghost. But I want you to look at the text of scripture that promises such a thing. And I want you to see how that is to come about. Here is God's prescription for a day when it seems as if he's far off. Maybe we've become discouraged and lax. And it's a day when we need the Lord. Well, how does the Lord come suddenly to visit his people? Well, we'll see what the Lord says here in this text of scripture. And I want you to notice, first of all, the requirement for those who seek. I want you to realize that the Lord will come to those who seek him. He does not come to anyone else. He does not come if we're not seeking. He does not come to those who are not seeking him. And we realize that if God is going to move, then first of all, he will move his people, or at least some of his people, to seek him. Now, we can look through the scriptures and we can see the samples of this seeking. When you examine what the Lord has done through history and in the scriptures, you will find many examples of how that when he was to come, he would set people to seek. Now, for example, you think of his incarnation when he first came to this earth. We find that the Lord, when he came to the stable in Bethlehem and was born as a babe there, before he came, there were those who were seeking for his coming. You remember, for example, Simeon, who is mentioned in Luke chapter 2 and verses 25 and 26. And we are told, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him, and it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So you notice that he is waiting, And it is said that he's waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Greek word there that is translated waiting is a word that would have the thought of endurance. So this was something that was not light. It wasn't just something that was thing that he came to out of some kind of whim, but this was something. There is the thought here that this is the forefront of his mind and his heart. We are told that it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And obviously this is something special to him. This is something that he is waiting for, praying for, he's longing for, calling for. And now he has the promise that he will not see death until it had been fulfilled in his eyes. So there is the thought of this. This is the forefront of his mind. He is seeking the Lord, and he is coming with this desire in his heart that God would be manifested in the midst. And you can see the way that the Holy Spirit had prepared the heart of this man Simeon, and he's waiting for the consolation of Israel. He's seeking. But he's not the only one who was seeking, because we read about another character, a woman by the name of Anna. And we're told about her in Luke chapter 2, verses 36 and 37. And we're looking at these scriptural samples of where seeking precedes the coming of the Lord. And we read, and there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. So here is a woman, and she's fasting and she's praying night and day. And then we read that she meets the Savior, this of the Lord coming to his temple. For the Lord had come to the temple as the babe. In verse 38 it says, and she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Israel. So she's speaking to those who were looking for redemption in Jerusalem. So here are a couple of people, and God has put this expectation, this seeking before the Lord comes in his incarnation. But they were not the only ones. There's an interesting phrase that I really didn't notice before that you find in Luke chapter 3 and verse 15. And here it is speaking about the ministry of John the Baptist. And it says, and as the people were in expectation, and all men mused in their hearts of John, whether he were the Christ or not. So it says that there were this group of people who were in expectation, and they are musing in their hearts whether John is the Christ or not. In other words, their expectation, what they are expecting or looking for or seeking, is the coming of the Messiah. And that's the pattern of the ages. When God wants to move, when God is going to come suddenly to his temple, he sets people to seek. That's what happened at Pentecost. Do you remember how the Lord told the disciples to tarry at Jerusalem until they were endued with power from on high? And the Lord had given them this expectation because, of course, they had seen the risen Christ. And having seen the risen Christ and seen the things that they had beheld, the Lord's ascension and so on, now they're full of expectation as to what the Lord would do. And this is what God has done down through the ages. And he has set his people to cry. You think, too, of the deliverance from Egypt. And we are told how the Lord says, I have also heard the groaning of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage, and I have remembered my covenant. And it was to be said that there will never be a revival until there's that spirit of prayer poured out upon God's people. Psalm 102, verses 12 and 15, it says, "But thou, O Lord, shalt endure forever, and thy remembrance unto all generation. Thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion, for the time to favour her, yea, the set time is come." And God has his set times when he begins to move in grace and to begins to move in power, but he always sets his people to seeking. You think, even in history, in 1727, the Moravian Brethren in Herrnhut in Germany, there was a unified prayer amongst the 300 refugees that were there. And everyone there desired above everything else to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And they devoted time and they set up a concert of prayer, a continuous prayer meeting. Somebody was praying throughout the day, throughout the night, that lasted for 100 years. And you think of that unified prayer, and God broke in the, it led, that prayer meeting that lasted for 100 years, that led to the first missionaries that were sent out. In 1781 in Cornwall in England, concerts were prayer were held every evening until midnight. And that impacted upon the nation and social change. And you think of how the revival started at that time in the Great Awakening. And God has done that. You think of the people who met together in 1859 in the schoolhouse. God sets his people to seeking him when he wants to move. So we notice the samples of the seeking. But then I want you to think about the strength of the seeking. The text says, "The Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple." And I want us to just think about that word, seek. You see, as you look at that word, that Hebrew word, as it is used throughout the scriptures, you begin to get some idea of what it is to seek. For example, if you were to turn with me to the book of Genesis and to chapter 31, and if you were to look at verse 39, there you have a conversation between Jacob and his brother-in-law Laban. And you remember how Rebekah had stolen the idol, and Laban had come after Jacob to find this. And it says, Jacob, of course, didn't know that Rebekah had taken. But it says in verse 39 of Genesis chapter 31, "That which was torn of beasts, I brought not unto thee. I bear the loss of it in mine hand. Didst thou require it, of my hand didst thou require it, whether stolen by day or stolen by night." Now, it is the word "require" that is in that text, where Jacob required it of Jacob, or Laban required it of Jacob. He required the losses. He wanted to be paid up. He felt that this was his legal right, that there was a legal obligation that Jacob pay up. And you know, there is that sense. Now, we don't come demanding anything of God as of right, because there's nothing that we can demand of God. But there is that sense in which the word "seek" there is the word "require." We come to require of God as if, in that certain sense, God has a legal obligation. He has promised things. So we come to require those things. And that's the sense in which we come to God today. We come to require. But then we're thinking about this word "seek." Turn over with me to Exodus chapter 10 and look at verse 11 of Exodus chapter 10. The book of Exodus chapter 10. And would you look at verse 11 of the chapter? Now we're trying to get the meaning of the word "seek." Now these are the words of Moses as he is before Pharaoh here. And Moses was charging Pharaoh to let the people go. And Pharaoh says, and this verse, it says, Exodus chapter 10, verse 11, "Not so, go now ye that are men and serve the Lord, for that ye did desire." And they were driven out from Pharaoh's presence. These are the words of Pharaoh. But it's the words, desire there, "for that ye did desire." So Pharaoh describes the longing of the children of Israel to be free as by this word "seek." Now, you can imagine the children of Israel under bondage, desiring to get free, desiring to be able to go and serve their God. That's the sense of this word. It's not just seeking something in an idle kind of a way. This is a real deep down desire. These people were in bondage. You can imagine what it meant to be free. So there is that sense of the word. Then let's look at another verse. Turn over to the book of Joshua and look at Joshua chapter 2 and verse 22. And again, we're looking at this word "seek," and we want to really determine what it is that God means when he wants his people to seek. Joshua chapter 2 and verse 22. And it says there, "And they went and came unto the mountain, abode there 3 days, until the pursuers were returned, and the pursuers sought them." Now that's the word. The pursuers sought them throughout all the way, but found them not. This is the children of Israel at Jericho. You remember how some spies had gone into Jericho. And remember how Rahab had let them down by a cord out of a window. Now you find the men of Jericho, these military men probably, and they are searching for the spies. Now you can imagine them turning up every bush and looking behind every obstacle. And they're going to make a thorough search to see if they can find these spies. They're going to search with diligence. And that's the thought. When we seek God, it means that we search with diligence. We're going to not going to be put off. We're going to make sure that we do it thoroughly. And I hope that that's the way that we come to our God today. We seek him thoroughly. Just one more illustration. And it's the same word again that is translated "seek" in our text. And it's in Esther chapter 2 and verse 23, and it says, "And when inquisition was made of the matter, it was found out, therefore they were both hanged in the tree, and it was written in the book of the Chronicles before the king." Now, the word that we're looking at here is the word "inquisition." That's the word that we are looking at. It's the word "seek" in our text, the same Hebrew word, "inquisition." You can think of the Spanish Inquisition hounding out Protestants in that day, in the time of the Reformation and beyond. And there was that seeking everywhere, and people were afraid, and people, innocent people, were being taken because everywhere the Inquisition was making inquiries, trying to stamp out the Reformation. And that's the thought here. That's the way that we seek the Lord. We come, we make inquisition, we desire, we seek. We really cry and call unto God with all of our hearts. And surely that's the way that we come to our God. That's the way that we want God. We are going to seek for God to come in this day and generation. We're going to seek him with all our hearts and with all our souls and minds and strength. And I hope that that's the way that we are seeking him today. So we see the requirement for those who seek. We are to do it with all our hearts. But then look at the representation of those who seek. Now, I want you to notice a couple of things about the people, the way they're represented here in the text of Scripture. And the first thing is that they are a prepared people. God says he's going to send a messenger to prepare the way before him. And the way that he is going to prepare the way. He says, "Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me." And historically, that has been a reference, taken as a reference to John the Baptist. Now, how did John the Baptist prepare the way for the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, chapter 4, verse 5 of the book of Malachi, he says, "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, and he will, when he comes, his message will be, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." That's what John the Baptist preached. So it is a message of repentance, of turning back from sin, turning back from ritual, turning back from coldness, and there needs to be that repentance before God. Now, of course, historically, it is revival that has brought repentance. In the most part, revival brings repentance. Revival brings that turning of people to God. But I also want you to see that invariably, when God wants there to be a turning, he takes some people and he calls them to turn and to cry and to seek him. As we've been saying, there are always these forerunners before revival, those that take the humble place, like the women who prayed before the Lewis revival, like the men who prayed before the 1859 revival, like the disciples who sought the Lord, like Simeon and Anna and the others who were seeking and expecting the coming of the Lord, and who, like Anna, fasted day and night. There were those who God dealt with beforehand. And we think of what it says in 2 Chronicles 7:14. "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." We are to be a prepared people. But then also we are a pleased people, because he says, "The Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in." These are a delighted people. And who do they delight in? They delight in Christ. They delight in him. The word that is used for delight there is a word that just means to take pleasure in something. So we are to take pleasure, or we should take pleasure, in the presence of the Lord. And of course, when the Lord does come, it is a pleasant thing. It is a pleasing thing. In Psalm 102, we read about God's people who take pleasure even in the dust of the Lord's house. You see, when you love the Lord, then you will love everything that about the Lord. You will take pleasure in God's house. You will take pleasure even in the very things that are in God's house. There will be an interest in the things of God. There will be an interest in God's house. There will be an interest in God's work. There will be a delight. I wonder, have you that delight in the things of God, in the worship of God today? I think of what Oswald Chambers wrote in his book, My Utmost for His Highest. This is one of his devotionals. And he said, "Think of the last thing you prayed about. Were you devoted to your desire or to God? Determined to get some gift of the Spirit or to get at God? Your Father knows what you have need of before you ask him. The point of asking is that you may get to know God better. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Keep praying in order to get a perfect understanding of God himself." And what Oswald Chambers is saying is that when we come to God, are we delighting in the things that we are asking for? Are we delighting in God? Paul's desire was that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings being made conformable unto his death. The psalmist says in Psalm 42 and verse 1, "As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee." Are we seeking the Lord? Are we seeking him and his presence and his blessing in our lives? You see, it is those that seek like that that the Lord comes to suddenly visit. So we notice something here of the requirement of those that seek and the representation of those that seek. But then look at the reward for those who seek. The text says, "The Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts." So the Lord will appear. The Lord is coming. The Lord has promised his people that if we seek him, he will suddenly come. And we will feel his presence. We'll know his blessing. And that's what we want. Isn't that what you want? Isn't that what you want today? But look at the sight of the revelation. The Lord, where's he going to come? To his temple. And you think about the temple that was first built by Solomon, how the Lord came to the temple, how the Lord broke in suddenly and manifested himself, and his glory was seen in the midst. And the temple was the place where God was worshipped, and the place where the ordinances and the sacrifices were made, and where, as it were, the blood was shed for the sins of the people. So this is the place of God's ordinances. It's the place where God had laid down that he should be worshipped. You think of how Anna and Simeon, where did they meet God? In his temple. When the Lord was born, he was taken almost immediately to be circumcised in the temple. The Lord comes to his temple. And that would symbolize his ordinances, his church, his people today. And he comes there. He comes amongst his people. He's not looking for innovations. He's not looking for shows. He's not looking for lighting and sound and an atmosphere that is conducive to suggestion to the people that are under the sound of it. No, where does God come? He comes amongst his people. He comes amongst his ordinances. And how often it is that revival is associated with the ordinance of God, either the ordinance of communion, like at the Kirk of Shots or Canvas Lang, or also the ordinance of the preaching of the word. And also, how often revival, it always comes through the preaching of the word of God. You know what's wrong today? The thing is that God has been kept outside the door of his church. You think of how the Lord wrote to the church at Laodicea in the book of Revelation. And of course, they had many resources, and they were rich and increased with goods, and they felt that they had need of nothing. And so, having need of nothing, they thought that they could get on in their own strength and by their own power. But you remember what the Lord said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." The Lord was outside the door. The Lord was not where he ought to be. He was outside. And he said to them, "Thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked." And the Lord counseled them to buy of him. You see, they were not buying of him. They were not experiencing his presence and his blessing. And he said, "I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see." You see, they had refused his fellowship. They thought that they could get on their own strength. But the Lord said, "No, you're poor and miserable and wretched and poor and blind and naked." Oh, how we need the Lord to come. Is he outside today? We notice here the sight of the revelation, but look also at the suddenness of the revelation. The Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple. And that's something that's always true. The Lord comes suddenly, comes unexpectedly. It may be today. It may be today. It may be tomorrow. And it could happen at any time. God can bring a remarkable, turn of events, when we least expect it, when it is in the midst of darkness, when the way is dark, and the word word suddenly is in the Hebrew a word that is related to the opening of an eye. And it has relationship to the twinkling of an eye, the expression in the twinkling of an eye. That's how suddenly God could turn the situation. And God knows when to come. The Lord never delays replying to prayer, but he always answers at the right time. We read in Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 3, "For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry." God says he will not tarry in answering prayer. He will come at the right time. What do we need? We need the Lord to come. What do we need? We need the Lord to come visit his temple, the temple of his church, the temple of his people. We are the temple of the Holy Ghost today. We need the Lord to come and visit this temple. And he can come suddenly. But we need to seek him. We need to seek him. We need to have that deep down desire that he come. And I hope, dear child of God, that you have that desire today. May God write his word upon our hearts for his name's sake. Let's just close our meeting in prayer. Our loving God and our gracious Father in heaven, we do thank thee for thy precious word afresh today. And we'd ask that thou wouldst bless it to our hearts. We pray that it might be written there indelibly, and Lord, that it might bring forth fruit. Part us now in thy blessing. We pray that thou wouldst be with us throughout this day. And O God, make it a day of worship to thee, for it's in Jesus' precious name. I would ask these things. Amen. Amen.